This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Fantasy Football Today. We're going to take a look at some FFT Open results because this thing is in full swing. And by the way, we have sold out every spot. Unbelievable. $99,000 raised for St. Jude through the FFT Open. We're going to take a look at our 14-team PPR podcast league at the end of the show and tell you why you shouldn't panic at the running back position and throw off your entire draft strategy. But a lot of people went very running back heavy in that draft deck. Two teams took running backs with each of their first three picks. We've got some fill in the blank for you and some news and notes that you need to know. And welcome to the Wednesday or the Tuesday. Oh, it's Tuesday. Welcome to the Tuesday edition with Jamie Eisenberg, Heath Cummings. I am Adam Azer. Heath, where are you in the FFT Open?
Oh, we are early in round two. My league heard you talking yesterday about taking as long as you can to get the Ashton Jeanty news, and so everyone is doing it. We're on pick 16, and I anticipate that Ashton Jeanty will be the next pick.
Well, I looked at eight leagues that had drafted Jeanty, including mine, and he hasn't gone as early as 17th yet. He has gone 18th, 19th, 20th, or 21st in seven of those eight leagues. So he has been clearly a mid-round pick. I think in my league, he went 18th. Jamie, where are you in the FFT Open?
We are in round four.
Okay. Well, let me show you where I am in the FFT Open. I am in round 11.
Nice.
We are kicking everyone's butt. And I'm on the clock, by the way. But just going to give you some takeaways from this two running back, two receiver, one flex draft.
Wow, your team is great.
I'm very happy with my team. It's like I'm jinxing it, but it gets incredible basically right now. But I always like my FFT Open team, and it never does that well. But anyway, let me tell you a few things about the FFT Open just for the 300, whatever it is. 36 times 11 would be what, 396 people?
Well, but you can add the 12 because those people are in the league.
Yeah, yeah, well, I'm not doing 36.
How many is it now? 432?
For sure. 432 people in the league. You can draft overnight. The timer kind of goes off overnight. You can keep drafting, so you don't have to stop. I know a lot of people were stopping.
I was right.
Yeah, nice work. I know a lot of people stop drafting. You can keep drafting. There are no trades in the FFT Open. You should know that. We can't have any collusion. We can't have people arguing about trades. So there are no trades in the FFT Open. Here's one thing I wanted to talk about as we did this draft. You know, guys, we talk so much about those top 12 running backs and maybe basing your round one pick on whether or not you can get one of those top 12 running backs. And I think Ashton Jeanty is probably still in that. Maybe he's 12th. For a lot of people, Ian Rappaport said they think he might be able to play week one, but he might miss a week.
I thought the most important thing from what I heard was he said they think it's more low than high.
Yeah, but he did say that they are, you know, still hopeful that he can play week one.
Right.
But yes, it doesn't seem like it's
the most mysterious ankle injury of all time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we should treat him like he's got an... Not that he's just necessarily going to be totally fine, and maybe he will. But how are you treating this situation? I think I have a little bit of trepidation about him not being 100% at least early in the year.
I think that's how you have to approach it, you know. So yeah. I kind of just put it in the same context with Jeremiah Love, because Jeremiah Love was diagnosed with a high ankle sprain. So this was a guy that was being drafted basically early round three, and I dropped him around. And Jeanty, I was very excited about Jeanty. I had him, you know, in round one. I dropped him to the 2-3 turn. So I think you just kind of give a discounted price to a player that does not sound like it's going to be a long-term injury, that hopefully will be ready early in the season, that hopefully will be a peak performance early in the season. And then you just sort of build around what the problems or the concerns could be. For Love, it's a bad team, a tough schedule, and competition. For Jeanty, it's a bad team, maybe now competition, or more competition than we thought, and a bad schedule. You know, so... it's potentially elite players, like those guys could be awesome. We love them. I know Heath has certainly talked about them enough in their dynasty profiles and what they could be, you know, when things get right. For this year, it's just an uphill battle. We saw it for Genty last year. It's probably the same thing for Love this year. You know, if things break right without their bodies breaking, then they're still good number two running backs or high end number one running back, I think, or low end number one back, excuse me, in the case of Genty.
Okay, so just want to go back to making that point now about thinking about, oh, this top 12, this happens all the time, I think, when I talk to fantasy managers, is can I get one of those top 12 running backs in round two? If not, I'm going to take one of them in round one. Like, you're looking at this draft right now where the team with the fourth pick took James Cook. So it went Gibbs, Bijan Robinson, Jamar Chase, James Cook, and then Puka Nacua, JSN. Anyway, you know, I look at my team and Jamie, we did this pick on the air on FFT Express. I was deciding between St. Brown and Christian McCaffrey, and we decided let's go with Amon-Ra St. Brown because I probably get that top 12 running back in round two, and I did with Derrick Henry. But you know what? I think in retrospect, I would have rather gone McCaffrey, AJ Brown. So, you know, I don't know how you guys want to. Yeah, go ahead.
No, it's interesting that you took Amon-Ra St. Brown over Christian McCaffrey at pick 8 in this draft and drafted Christian McCaffrey at pick 5 in last night's draft. They're both two running back, two wide receiver, full PPR leagues.
One's 14-team league, the other's 12. And in a 14-team league, I do prioritize running back a little bit more. And also, I want to have a little fun with it. I didn't want to have the same guy in the two leagues in St. Brown. But yes, it's a good point. But think about it. I had the 5th pick and I in a 14-team league, and I knew I had no chance of getting a top 12 running back in the second round, unless maybe Genty fell there.
He did.
In this league, I had the 8th pick, and I knew I was going to get a top 12 running back in the second round. So that kind of, you know, go ahead.
I thought this section was you don't have to worry so much about being able to get a running back. And it sounds like your decision in round one was based almost entirely on whether you could get a running back in round two.
Which league are you talking about?
Both.
Okay. Forget about the 14-team league. That's not exactly why I did it. I just wanted McCaffrey. Here it is, but I kind of wish I had gone McCaffrey, AJ Brown. And, you know, I think every manager, you have to ask yourself, if Justin Jefferson or Drake London or AJ Brown or CeeDee Lamb is in the second round and you're choosing between them and one of those top 12 running backs, like, what, you know, have rankings, figure out who you like better, because it could free you up to take a running back in round one if you want to, instead of a wide receiver. And am I making any sense here? Not really.
Well, I mean, this is the decision that managers have to make, because you kind of have seen, like, this draft's a little bit different because of where James Cook went, and probably Chase Brown over St. Brown. We kind of have a pretty good idea of the two running backs, first and second. Then, for the most part, four receivers populate, I'll say, the next 6 picks, but for the most part, it's the next 4 picks. And then there's typically Taylor and McCaffrey. In this case, it was Cook and Chase Brown. So if you know what you're looking at in round one, it's easy to have an idea of the position you're looking at in round two, not necessarily the player you're looking at in round two, but the position you're looking at in round two. So you did that purposely in the 14-team league, which makes sense because you had an idea that if you take McCaffrey here, you're still going to get, maybe it's Olave, I don't know who you took, but Olave or Nico or Drake London, one of those guys.
I took Bowers.
Okay, so Bowers, there you go. So that factors in as well. In this case, you know, you knew that if you took McCaffrey, you're getting AJ Brown, Drake London, maybe Jefferson in round two. In the case of taking St. Brown, you kind of had an idea of which running backs would be available to you. So it's easy to sort of build that out in looking at how most drafts have gone. So, like, in this case, for example, I don't know who picked 4th, but did they do that on purpose as well? Because taking James Cook, let's just say that's Jonathan Taylor or McCaffrey, knowing that they could pair that running back with a receiver in round two.
And yeah. Taylor did go 4th in my FFT Open.
Yeah, so my question
is... I'm sorry, Heath, just why I kind of hesitate a little bit with the two running backs and then 4 receivers. Average draft position has changed. We've seen Taylor and McCaffrey leap over, I believe, both Jackson Smith and the Jigba and Amon-Ra St. Brown. Because probably this reasoning is that not wanting to take a receiver and go receiver. You know, I've talked about this, that we're okay going receiver, 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 or receiver, receiver, tight end, or receiver, tight end, receiver, whatever combination. But like, you got to be comfortable with that.
Do you like the two teams that went, well, the three teams that went receiver, receiver? Team three, just if you want to go receiver, receiver, this is how your team could look after four rounds. Ja'Marr Chase, Chris Olave, Javonte Williams, Quinshon Judkins.
Like it a lot.
Yeah.
How about James? He's not a receiver. Puka Nacua, Nico Collins, Josh Jacobs, DeAndre Swift.
Like it even more.
Yeah, yeah, like it even more, exactly. JSN, AJ Brown, Trey McBride, Breece Hall.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you've got Lamar Jackson, Tony Pollard with the next two picks. I mean, it's pretty good.
But it's I think if you're watching on YouTube and you're seeing the strategy here, receiver, receiver, tight end, running back, quarterback, running back, receiver, running back, like just, you know, you got to understand that you're probably gonna have to throw a lot of capital at one of those, whatever you do, you know, it could be running back, and then go receiver, receiver, you know, just throw a lot of capital at those positions. That's probably a little bit extreme, but you know, you're still in a two receiver league. Okay, I'm locked in with two top 10-ish guys, two top 5-ish guys potentially in Smith Najigba and AJ Brown, and then I'm good to go, you know, so I still want to get more receivers a little bit later and probably sooner than this manager did. But now it's Hall, it's Pollard, it's Warren, it's, you know, Monongai. It's just, okay, I'm going to cover myself at running back.
And we had two teams last night that started, Adam, you already mentioned that two of the teams started with three running back straight. And one of them was Jamie. Two of the teams started with three wide receivers to start the draft. One of them was me. And that team that I drafted with three wide receivers to start, my bench, except for one player, is all running backs.
This is a 14-team league that Heath's talking about, our podcast league draft, which we'll get to. So different strategies. We'll see how they work out. Another point I wanted to make about every league, but what we saw here, I took Jordan Mason with the 80th pick, which is way ahead of his ADP on Fantasy Pros, but not that far ahead of Mason's ADP on CBS. Right now, he's 89th. But I think you should get used to seeing stuff like something like that. I mean, we were originally talking about Jordan Mason as like a round 10 pick or something like that. But the running backs who have a chance to be their starter really start to dry up pretty quickly once you get to round 7 or so. And in round 7, we have Travion Henderson, who left practice yesterday. He went after Ramondre Stevenson in this draft. Then we had Rico Dowdle and Jalen Warren back to back. And then I'm going, I don't know if there's, I mean, I feel like Jacory Kroski-Merritt probably be there on my next pick, but let's just lock up a potential starting running back and take Jordan Mason. So then we have Dobbins, Mike Washington, Gainwell, Corum, Jacory Kroski-Merritt, who's dealing with a groin injury right now. You're going to get to a point where the starting running backs or the guys who have like a good defined role, they might be running out in the 7th round. And if you have to take one, then you take one, even if it's ahead of ADP. This is a somewhat shallower format, I would say, because we only have two running backs, two receivers, and one flex. I know a lot of you play in a league like that. Guys, do you think it's important to have something close to an elite quarterback and or an elite tight end in this two running back, two receiver, one flex format, Heath?
More important than it is in a deeper league, yes. With more wide receiver. The fewer wide receivers you start, the more important it is to be elite at quarterback or tight end, for sure.
Yeah, or any position, or compared to like a two flex league or anything. Yeah, so try. I mean, I got Joe Burrow in round 6. I was pretty happy with that. The quarterbacks went pretty late. Josh Allen went 36th overall. Lamar Jackson went in round 5. I would have taken him in round 5. He went two picks ahead of me, so I took Joe Burrow in round 6.
You didn't just ask the person if they wanted to change their picks so that you could take them after that?
That's unbelievable.
What? No, it wasn't unbelievable. Nothing.
Are you
nothing.
Sure about that pick? Just trying to make them feel bad that they took Jaden Daniels in round 8 of a 14-team league?
They didn't take Jaden Daniels in round 8. I selected Jaden Daniels accidentally for a team because I thought I was on the clock. We'll get into that a little bit later. And then
in that league is impressive.
Two guys I like taking late. Get your thoughts.
You cutting this draft off at 10 rounds just to make it easy for you?
Jordan Tyson and Zach Charbonnet. Because I think there's a chance both of them go right into an IR spot. And then you've got two free roster spots when free agency opens. Take whoever you want. You don't have to drop anyone. What do you think, Jamie?
Yeah, it's not a bad move. You know, but I wouldn't be reaching for those guys just because I want to put them on an IR spot. I think if you're doing it in the appropriate, you know, range, which it looks like you did here with Charbonnet. I don't know where Jordan Tyson went.
Well, I'm on the clock at 128 overall, and I'm thinking about taking Jordan Tyson.
So. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
If that's the best player on your board, then sure. But I'm not doing it just because, hey, I can stash them in an IR spot, and hopefully they're going to be, you know, relevant for me at some point this season. That's not the reason to be drafting.
No, that's not
the latter more so than the former.
I just think like the best wide receivers in your rankings are Jacoby Myers, Deebo Samuel, Kayshon Boutte, Jordan Tyson. So maybe I'll take Xavier Worthy. I don't have any Xavier Worthy. Let's take Jordan Tyson. Okay. That's it for my FFT open thoughts. I don't know if you guys had anything you want to talk about from your drafts that might be relevant, or we can move on.
No, I mean, we should for any, or you should, if anybody plays in multiple leagues, sounds like you're doing that. I know Heath mentioned that with Parker Washington yesterday. Like, you want to diversify a little bit with some of the things that you do. So I've done a lot of running back starts at the back end of the first round. I made it a priority in this draft to take receiver running back with my first two picks. So took CeeDee Lamb at live the 12th pick. So took CeeDee Lamb and Kenneth Walker to start.
Cool. Heath, anything for you?
No, we haven't drafted enough players for there to be anything interesting to say.
All right, well, then let me tell you something that is interesting. Wednesday night, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern, the Draftathon, the show. You've helped us raise so much money up to this point, and we're not that far from our goal of $200,000. Let's check in on the meter here. The raise
we're at 179.
169 right now.
That's not accurate.
Okay.
That's what the auction has raised. And then there's another, we raised almost $10,000 in Memphis last week. And I think there's some other little things that have trickled in.
Cool. All right. So we're at almost $180,000, trying to get to 200. If you'd like to make a donation, tinyurl.com/FFTDonate2026 and join us tomorrow night at youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday for our draftathon show, which wraps up the fundraiser basically. And we'll have a lot of fun with that. And then listen, this is really cool. We got a new feature on the website, our must draft players page on cbssports.com/FFT must draft. Oh, I can't be first, right? That'd be bad. I shouldn't be first on this
list. You are first.
Oh, no, jeez.
Is Mike Evans on there?
Mike Evans is on there. Yep.
I wish he was first.
I wonder if this is just done by ADP. But here's our must draft players list, cbssports.com/FFT must draft. It's all of us from the FFT crew highlighting players that we're most excited to target throughout the draft, from early round studs to those late round values that you need to know about. cbssports.com/FFT must draft. Heath would like to make a public apology to Dan. We'll do that when we come back.
Please don't.
I said, let's not, you know, he said he's going to be more upset about the apology than the original insult. I said, okay, let's do it. So that's coming up after the break on Fantasy Football Today. Okay, Heath, what would you like to say to Dan?
So I try to, you know, be a man of integrity and not say things that aren't true. And so I accused Dan, said it was a mark on his character that he had claimed victory. And Dan has informed me that he did no such thing. It turns out that he actually agrees with me that he didn't win the tennis match, that the final result of the tennis match was a no decision, that it was postponed by rain, and Dan was not victorious this year in the tennis match. He is now 2-0-1 in career tennis matches. This year was a draw.
Okay, great. I'm sure he totally signs off on everything you just said. I love it. Okay, news and notes for you here.
And next year's challenge is you versus Dan in basketball. Tennis is done.
Heath versus Dan.
I made Dan a little bit mad already over that because someone suggested that, and I didn't think it would be any fun because I said Dan wouldn't score.
Well, the fact that he was like, oh, yeah, we'll play golf. It's going to be so even because Heath's a great golfer. Like, come on, man.
I've played twice in the last 11 years.
Right.
I may not have said the time of the Draftathon show. I'm sorry. It's Wednesday night, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern. Wednesday night, not tonight. I don't know if I screwed that up. Wednesday night, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern.
See, and no live stream tonight for the people that have been watching us the last two Tuesdays.
Malik Nabers is trending toward a week one return. He looked pretty good from the videos that We're on social media. So that's cool. Malik Nabers or Devontae Smith?
Nabers.
They're very, very close. I've done some rankings updates recently. I have Devontae Smith higher.
Malik Nabers or Chris Olave?
Olave. Olave.
Okay. Saints running back Kendre Miller expects a bigger role with Alvin Kamara injured. Also, running back Ty Chandler for the Saints has a knee injury that could be long-term. Michael Pittman and DK Metcalf. I don't have my mixer, so Michael, Pittman and DK Metcalf return to practice. Steelers cornerback Joey Porter Jr. may not be available for the start of the season. He wants a new contract. He's on the PUP list. Travion Henderson left after slipping on the grass yesterday. Jamie, any reaction or just kind of wait and see here?
Wait and see. It sounds like they were looking at his ankle and hopefully his foot or ankle. Hopefully he's okay. It's just more pushing or should be pushing you more in the direction of Ramondre Stevenson. I can't imagine drafting Travion Henderson over Stevenson unless you just love your build and you're hoping for a huge lottery ticket, which he would be. But Stevenson seemingly going to work on passing downs, going to be the every down back. Like, it's just not great for Henderson right now.
Yeah, there was a report a few days ago that Ramondre is, you know, ahead of Henderson. Henderson's going to be a change of pace back. And I just showed you that my FFT Open League, Ramondre did go, I think it was something like 8 picks ahead of Travion. Yep. And I think that was before the Travion injury. Let's see. Breece Hall expected to be ready for week 1. And Kenyon Sadiq also could play week 1. Heath had a funny tweet about all the running back injuries right now. I think most of them are pretty minor, but there are a lot of them. Allen Robinson retired. He was fantastic in his prime. Houston sent let's talk about this trade here with Houston sending safety Jalen Reed and a 2028 seventh round pick to the Patriots for Kayshon Booty. Heath, what's your reaction to Kayshon Booty going to Houston?
I mean, I think it was a really good move by the Texans, and it's good for CJ Stroud. I don't really think that Kayshon Booty's probably going to matter in most fantasy football leagues unless Nico Collins gets hurt, which Nico Collins has missed games almost every year. So he's a wide receiver you could take in the double digit rounds. I think you said that Jamie has Booty just ahead of Jordan Tyson. I would rather draft Jordan Tyson, but he's more on the radar now than he was on the Patriots.
And he's been a very high ADOT guy. He is a deep threat, mostly, almost exclusively a deep threat. He's one of those players. And I think that's good because those guys don't really command a lot of targets. So that if you have Nico Collins, I don't think you have to worry about him, about Booty like getting a ton of targets, whereas Higgins maybe had a chance to do that.
And it kind of affirms the thing that like we've been hearing all camp, and I think people haven't adjusted to, but DeMario Douglas is the slot wide receiver. Like he's the guy when they play three wide receiver sets, he's on the field with AJ Brown and Romeo Doubs. He probably won't matter either.
Yeah. Mekhi Lemon thinks he'll be ready.
It's a boost for Doubs though.
Yeah.
Boost for Doubs. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Mekhi Lemon or Romeo Doubs, Jamie.
Who I'm sorry.
Mekhi Lemon. He thinks he'll be ready for week 1.
I take the upside of Lemon. And I need to adjust cause I just threw basically Kayshon Booty in a spot last night. That sounds funny. After the trade. So he shouldn't go ahead of Jordan Tyson. And I need to move Doubs up as well. I think just looking at Lemon's status, the fact that he's back and hopefully ready for week 1 is very encouraging. So if you're ranking the rookie receivers for redraft, I would still put Carnell Tate first. I have Stribling second, Concepcion third, and Lemon should be fourth.
Who was the first one? Stribling, you said?
Tate.
Oh, Tate. Okay, yeah. My bad. Let's see. Dave Canales says that if Chuba Hubbard is available for week 1, Carolina will have a running back by committee. That's not a surprise. We're hoping that one of them, we're thinking Jonathan Brooks can emerge a little bit there. Darren Waller practiced with the Panthers.
Did you hear
the
comment?
No.
So basically what he said is they're going to have a first and second down guy and a third down guy. And if you're looking at the preseason work so far, Jonathan Brooks has basically been the first and second down guy. Now, Hubbard has not played, but why would you not work him in as the third down guy if you're not going to use him in that role?
Yeah. if that's how it's going to be, that first and second down guy and a third down guy, I think it's pretty good for Brooks, right? Or whoever the first and second.
Based on this team, I would say so. You know, it's I think we probably have let Hubbard fall a little too far, just knowing that Brooks has played three NFL games and has two torn ACLs in the same knee. So, you know, don't completely run away from Chuba Hubbard, but it's still, I think, a significant positive for Brooks that when this injury occurred for Hubbard and how he's at least performed mostly in practice more so than in the preseason games.
So he went 105th in my FFT Open League, and he
this
went
is Hubbard.
Yeah, Chuba Hubbard. Jonathan Brooks went 62nd. So yeah, I mean, what's better value there? Round 6 for Brooks or round 9 for Hubbard?
I would say Hubbard.
Today it's Brooks. In a week it could be Hubbard if it's the same separation.
Okay. Would you take Ramondre Stevenson or Jonathan Brooks?
I need to adjust that. I had Brooks higher, but I think given how everything is unfolding for Stevenson, he's probably safer.
Stevenson.
Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt was limited. He's got a groin injury. Rashad White is working his way back. Apparently the groin injury is not too bad for Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, but we'll keep an eye on it. Mike McDaniel was talking about the injury to Keaton Mitchell, the Chargers offense. He said their offense sustained a mild setback with Keaton Mitchell. Do we have a timetable for Keaton Mitchell?
I don't think there was ever any injury officially reported.
Okay.
So, like, for example, I drafted him last night in our podcast league. There's no white cross with a red block around it, as Heath describes it. So there's no injury tag associated with him yet. My guess is that is something that will probably happen today if he misses practice again. But something to keep an eye on there for sure.
And, you know, you say there's no injury reported. This really, I was thinking about this on the drive to work today. I'm really annoyed about the Christian McCaffrey thing. You can't say this was part of the plan all along for them to rest me at some point in training camp and also have your coach say that you had tightness. Like, either one of you is lying or both are true and you're just misleading us. But that's kind of crap to me. I hate that.
We are in the time of year, and it gets worse before it gets better, where they don't have to tell us the truth about injuries, and that we shouldn't expect that they are, and especially the 49ers.
Yeah, but if he's really just resting and it was part of the plan, that you cannot say he has tightness. Like, you cannot do that. I've never heard anyone be like, oh,
they can
tight.
Too. They can do whatever they want.
They shouldn't do that. That's not right. It's not cool, man.
Yeah, get used to it.
The Genty part of it is interesting because rosters are locked in, right? Roster cutdown is the 30th.
Is it the 30th? It's going to start happening soon. I'm not sure when it is. Yeah,
I don't know if it's the first roster cutdown. I believe the first cutdown date is August 30th. I think if I read it correctly, I'll go back and check before I say anything.
No, it's August 30th is the final one.
The final. Okay, so then it is right. So if he's going on short-term IR, Genty, they would have to make that designation then.
On the 30th? Okay.
Or I guess they don't have to, but that would be a smart move because then they could keep somebody that they don't want to cut.
All right, I'm going to go through, just finish up the notes here so we can get to the fill in the blank and all that stuff. Andy Reid did not commit to Patrick Mahomes playing week one, but all the reporting and even Mahomes himself is saying that Mahomes will be ready or should be ready. Pewter Report, which covers the Bucks, they speculate that Tampa Bay could keep Josh Williams, a running back, over Sean Tucker. And I wonder if that does anything and makes you feel a little more confident in Bucky Irving, Heath.
I would feel better if they didn't keep Sean Tucker for Bucky Irving, yes.
Maybe they just don't keep either one.
They don't keep Bucky Irving? They're going to trade Bucky Irving?
No, they don't keep Josh Williams or Sean Tucker.
Well, I think even this report, you know, Pewter Report does a pretty good job. I don't know.
No, they're great. I'm just joking. But they Williams is cheaper from a cost perspective. I'm guessing he's younger. I don't know the ages for both those guys. And there's probably a special teams component to this also. So this really is I think it's a plus for two reasons. One, it hopefully allows Bucky Irving to be the goal line option and Williams just more of a true backup. Two, maybe Tucker ends up someplace where he can get some opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely. Quinshon Judkins. Oh, I wanted to mention Khalif Raymond for the Bears if you're in a super deep league. He's apparently having a very good camp. He'll be on the field a little bit. Quinshon Judkins returned to practice, and the Cardinals waived Trey Benson. He's got this injury. He just can't get healthy, and it's such a shame that Trey Benson's career just never really got a chance to get started. Maybe it will someday. If I had him in a dynasty league, I wouldn't get rid of him yet. Let's see what happens with Trey Benson. All right. Should we go over? I think we should do the preseason. I think we should do the fill in the blank and not the preseason leftovers. I'm going to move the preseason leftovers to after fill in the blank because that's what the people are here for. I got a lot of fill in the blank questions or, you know, submissions yesterday, and a lot of them were about tennis. And I don't really want to talk about tennis, but I do want to talk about this one from Laquan Jones. Chris Godwin will finish inside the top blank wide receivers this season.
30 per game.
26.
So I saw, let me see if I can find it in Dave's, oh yeah. Dave tweeted Baker Mayfield to Sirius XM. NFL on his wide receivers. Chris Godwin looks like the best version of Chris Godwin, being back in a system that's going to help him be successful in spots he does things really well in. Baker also said, Abuka's been banged up a little bit, but still looking for a huge jump from year one to year two. Jalen McMillan is underrated for us. I think he's our best separator in one-on-one man coverage. And with Abuka and McMillan out, Hurst has been playing X and Z for us, and he's taking advantage of his opportunity. He's a big-time talent, and he's definitely going to help us. So he praised everyone, but he did say Chris Godwin's going to be in a system that really helps him.
You took Chris Godwin quite early yesterday.
I did. It was our PPR league. I basically went zero wide receiver. It was a 14-team league. McCaffrey, Bowers, Travis Achane, I think, and then Scadaboo. And then I took Chris Godwin as my wide receiver one. He was like fourth or fifth in the rankings for you guys, I think. I like him.
Feels almost as good as Bashaul Tootin as your RB one, which is what I did.
Yeah. From Jared, the single most frustrating fantasy player to own on a week-to-week basis this season will be blank.
Week-to-week? J-Mo?
I was going to say Brian Thomas.
And I think those are better answers. I was going to say Christian Watson, but all three of those guys are going in the same round 5-6 range with J-Mo almost always going first, but that's kind of what they are. Yeah. Do you think Laporta, because Laporta has been sort of that guy at times, do you think he'll be more consistent this year?
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully he's healthy. I think one thing to consider is his position versus the receivers, because his inconsistencies compared to the field will be much different than the receivers' inconsistencies to the field.
All right, next one is from Jar Jar Thinks, which is a funny name. Why are Drake London and Teteroa McMillan so far apart? Identical talents on similar offenses. Drake London is blank spots overranked.
Overranked or overdrafted?
I feel like his ranking and his draft position have to be pretty similar now.
I don't think so.
Well, I'll tell you.
Around 16 to 18 in both, I think.
Yeah, so I don't think that's overdraft. I would say 0-2.
Do you see? It's a funny comparison, or it's an interesting comparison, London and McMillan.
Yeah, I guess if you were probably saying, okay, we were probably projecting more of a year two leap for London than we are for McMillan. So that's fair. The quarterback situations stink for both. Comparatively to a lot of other receivers, you know, I think when you're talking about like Drake London versus the receivers around him, like his quarterback situation might be the worst, but he's, you know, so talented. He talked about this yesterday. Like, you know, we've seen him with Michael Penix be very productive. So at least you can hang your hat on that. I don't know.
I understand the Tua skepticism, and it did look awful in the preseason, but I think there's more, like, we have seen Tua play better football than we've seen Bryce Young play.
Yeah. I did go back and look at player, like wide receivers on bad offenses. If we think, I don't know that London's going to be on a bad offense. I think last year they were 23rd in scoring, something like that. Not good. It's really just like, yeah, it's fine. As long as you get the target volume, you can excel as a wide receiver on a bad offense. And You know, last year he was the number three wide receiver per game in the first nine games of the season. And then he suffered a knee injury and he came back and he was terrible in three games after returning. And the Falcons were 20th in gross passing yards per game, 26th in passing touchdowns. Drake London's had a target per out run rate of 28% or higher in three of his four seasons. McMillan had a pretty low target per out run rate from what I remember. I expect it to go up, but I'm not quite ready to compare them to say that they're the same. Talent-wise, they might be, but we've seen much more from London, obviously, than we have from McMillan. From CJ Chipley, in week one, the backfield split in Pittsburgh will be blank percent Warren and blank percent Dowdle.
50-50.
49-51.
That's one where we could probably look a little bit at what happened in the preseason, although maybe not, but I think Jaylen Warren was in at the beginning and he played, they both had five carries. Warren played all three snaps on the first possession. And then I think Dowdle played every snap on the second possession. And then they split on the third possession. So 50-50. Why don't we take a little pause from fill in the blank and take a break, and we'll come back and talk Caleb Williams. We'll talk Jalen Hurts and more after this. Welcome back to Fantasy Football Today. From Chief Moose, the sport or activity that Adam could beat Dan at is blank. Ping pong. I've already done ping pong. Oh, are you kidding? I know I complain a lot, but I cannot beat Dan at that.
Oh, yeah, but I got indigestion here. The pizza, yeah, the mushroom is so cold. And that, come on.
So ping pong's the answer?
Ping pong right now is the only thing I know that I can beat him at.
Yeah. Keith, you should have seen when we were in the rain delay, like we were trying to come up with alternate ideas. I know you saw me probably post it on X, you know, like what could they do? I think Adam would beat Dan in a pizza eating contest.
I think I would too. Are you kidding me? That burpy flatulent guy? Yeah.
It's so interesting. So like Dan likes his sandwiches heavier than you do, but you would eat more pizza than him?
Yeah.
I think Adam's one of those skinny guys. Like when he wants to eat, he can eat.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I can eat big. I think I'm not going to challenge Dave, but I'll definitely challenge Dan.
So that was part of the, so just to, you know, peek behind the curtain. So we were discussing maybe a wing eating contest, and Dave was the happiest. He was very happy that day. That was the happiest Dave was when he was like, oh, let's do that.
Dave and Jamie were so awesome during that whole thing. You guys did a great job. All right, Quentin Brown. If the Eagles offense actually gets all the new easy buttons from shifts and motions and under center, the Shanny McVay treatment for Jalen Hurts could have him finish as QB blank.
One.
I don't think it's really so much about the passing for him, because I think that's going to, like, he's not going to be a 4,500 yard passer, no matter what the offensive changes are. Like, you need him to be 710 rushing and then the passing to be good.
10. Yeah. I mean, I think he could be 707 or 8. I think he could still be a top five quarterback, right?
Well, I mean, that's where he is almost every year, you know, so it's been a steady decline for the last 5 years in his fantasy points. And so you don't lose A.J. Brown and feel better about it. I mean, there's just no way around that, which is, I think, built into his ADP. So hopefully Mekhi Lemon, Dontayvion Wicks, better Devontae Smith, I would say similar Dallas Goedert, because you want those touchdowns, like that, plus the back to being a better runner or more robust runner, more volume when he's running. Gets him to the level that you want to see, which I think the highest I would think would be probably top three.
So 2022, he was 3,700 yards passing, 760 yards rushing, 35 combined touchdowns.
That's the guy. Yeah.
In 15 games.
Oh, wow.
And he was QB2 per game at 27.9.
Yeah, like,
wow, that's a great.
Like the Shanny McVay treatment doesn't really make me go, wow, it's, can you run?
Benzeth asks, who would win in a pastrami eating contest? I had corned beef yesterday for the first time in a very long time, and I crushed it. I mean, plain bagel, piles of corned beef.
It was at your overpriced deli?
No, I went to a different place. Swiss cheese.
You have some bad food suggestions. Bad food recommendations.
Yeah. What do you think about this one? Plain bagel, lightly toasted, pastrami, Swiss cheese, tomato, and Russian dressing. It's very similar to the, it's the same exact sandwich as the ham and is the ham one, but it's pastrami, I guess.
It was a cinnamon bagel with plain bagel.
No, it was plain bagel. It was plain bagel.
Yeah, that's the difference.
Yeah. Okay. Next question. Caleb Williams will finish as QB blank. From Mark.
7.
12.
Did you answer, Heath?
I said 12.
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear you. From Yogi Danza. If you could leave every draft with three players, regardless of format, your favorites would be blank. CBSSports.com. What's the URL? CBSSports.com/FFT must draft.
Yeah. Jahmyr Gibbs, Ja'Marr Chase, Bijan Robinson.
I'll say Chase Brown, Devontae Smith, and Ladd McConkey.
That's pretty good. And you could do that in rounds 1, maybe 2, 3, and 4 if you have a late pick. Heath, you have a real answer?
I mean, it's probably based on what I've done. I mean, I think we're doing this show on Wednesday. People, we keep drafting. It's probably Zay Flowers, Sam Laporta, and Brock Purdy right now.
All right, damn. Well, now you don't have to listen to tomorrow's show. Next is from Gamer Eric. Blank will lead the league in quarterback rushing.
Jane Daniels.
I was just going to look at my projections, and I have Jaden Daniels.
I'll say Jaden Daniels. From Hipster Doofus 21.
I think it's either him or Malik Willis.
Okay. The leading pass catcher for the Colts in 2026 will be blank.
Are we doing yards or fantasy points or receptions?
That's a great question. I think yards.
Josh Downs.
I still have Alec Pierce with 11 more yards. So
then Downs?
Than Warren.
Okay. From Brownie fan Mike, if I already have Isaiah Pacheco, then I can get Jahmyr Gibbs for blank percent of my auction.
I mean, better question. Down to about 20%.
How much would you spend of your auction budget on Jahmyr Gibbs?
30%.
I think 35 is what I have it at.
Okay. And
we had an email, right, about somebody doing Bijan and Gibbs. In our pre-draft conversation, I was talking to Todd Rohn, who I shared the team with, one of our more generous donators for St. Jude. And he was also pissed that he didn't know that donations determine the draft order, and really mad at you, Adam. Because you put us 12th, or I'm sorry, 13th out of 14, while you gave yourself the 5th pick.
What's that? Is that an advantage for me?
Well, yeah. So he told me somebody in an auction that he participated also did that and ended up with Purdy, a quarterback. I forget who the receivers were. It was bad.
It was bad?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think you have to really – it kind of depends on how many players you have to start. More receivers, more flex, whatever, probably less likely to go studs and duds there. Next, let's see, fill in the blank for
– what was the worst thing Adam did last night, putting himself in the fifth spot or cutting the draft off at 12 rounds?
I think cutting the draft off was – no. The worst thing he did was justifying the small benches because he likes to have short benches.
So you understand this league has been going on since 2013, and I don't think it has ever changed. I didn't change any of the format other than removing kickers and DSTs. Everything else stayed exactly the same, and it has year over year over year. So
we have fewer starting spots and the same number of bench spots.
Yeah, but we lost a kicker and DST. I'm fine with that.
That does change the structure of everything. Each starting spot is now more valuable because there's 25 points a game that are not going to be scored each week.
If everybody wants or the majority want, I'm happy to.
It's too late now.
It's not. We do a 2-round draft for all I care, or just put them on free agency. Yeah, I'm glad that was the worst thing I did last night. Okay, giving myself the 5th pick. I don't know. I just kind of,
I mean, randomly... picking for someone else was the worst thing that he did.
That was an accident. I did nothing bad happened there. I thought I was on the clock. I was the commissioner, so I can pick for anyone
or,
at any time.
No. The other worst thing was that one manager had connectivity issues and clocked out probably 5 times during the draft. Uh-huh. And every time that it looked like he might have auto-picked, Adam paused it and asked if the guy was okay. And then about 2 rounds after the last time he did that, somebody else auto-picked, repeatedly said that they auto-picked, wanted to take the player that Adam ended up taking in Jaden Daniels.
No, that's not
true. And ended up with Kenneth Gainwell. Yes.
No,
I asked the guy I wanted when I timed out and got Kenneth Gainwell. You never asked him.
Oh, I missed that. I did not see that.
I missed it.
So he got Kenneth Gainwell. Send us an email and Adam will trade you Jaden Daniels for Kenny Gainwell.
I don't want Kenny Gainwell.
He didn't either.
All right, back to I don't know what's going on here. Back to fill in the blank from Jake. If Ken Walker stays healthy for 17 games, he will finish the year as RB blank.
Ooh. 6.
So if you're talking total fantasy points, yeah, I'll go 6.
Okay. Yeah, because I mean, in this scenario, other players are getting hurt or everyone's playing right. 17 games.
No,
you know,
other players are getting hurt.
Yeah, then he's going to be pretty high up there. From Jay, a mid-round wide receiver or running back I must leave the draft with is blank.
Mid-round?
Yeah.
Just because I drafted him, I'll say Jordan Mason.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't ever know exactly what qualifies as a mid-round. It was probably Bill before. It's probably still Bill.
I'm going to go Evans. What do you use mid-round? Mid-round for me is 5 through 8, but what about you?
Oh, well, I don't draft Bill that often generally.
Well, is it a 12-round draft or is it a...
Well, I mean, a 14-round draft is pretty normal, right? So if you take away kicker and defense, it's really like a 12-round draft.
So here's where I have the chat transcript in front of me from the draft last night. Heath says, I was just amazed at the Jaden Daniels value. Congratulations. That was at 8:38 p.m. Eastern. Travis, who I assume wanted Daniels, said, that's who I wanted before losing connection with that Gainwell auto pick. Silence from Adam. Not a word.
Not a word.
I didn't see
not
that.
A word from
I was having dinner with my family for what it's worth. But so I was kind of, I was paying
attention.
Oh,
wait, hold on. Wait, I'm sorry. I missed something here.
But did he say something? Did this Gainwell drafter say something while he drafted Gainwell?
So here's what happened. I'm sorry, I skipped because there were some other comments in there more disparaging you. Travis at 8:35 said, lost connection. Heath says, insane. Adam said, did you want Jaden Daniels? No response from Travis, I'm assuming trying to figure out what was going on. Adam says, you good there? Heath says, incredible. Then Heath said, I was just amazed at the Jaden Daniels value because at that point, Adam had drafted him.
And then he said,
That's what I wanted before losing connection with that Gainwell auto pick.
That's a different guy.
No, same guy.
What? But how far?
That's not the guy you picked. No, it's not the guy you picked Jaden Daniels for. The guy you picked Jaden Daniels for didn't want him and wanted Carnell Tate instead. Yes. Yeah. But it is true that right before that, he said he lost connection and didn't want Gainwell and you didn't see it. And then you responded to messages. And then he said, that's the guy I wanted when I auto-picked Gainwell, and you didn't see it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's extremely convenient.
No, that's not true. I never would have done that. Wow. All right, last one is from Gamer Eric again. DeJuan Stribling's upside will be wide receiver blank, and his downside will be wide receiver blank.
Upside will be wide receiver 31, and downside will be wide receiver 62.
I was going to say 30, so agree completely. And I will say the downside is wide receiver on the waiver wire.
I see more upside with Stribling than you guys do, but not if everyone stays healthy for every game. But this is the LOL. This is the 49ers. There's
but
no
even
chance.
With all the injuries they've had over the years, they've had maybe 2 top 30 wide receivers.
No, false. 2024, Juwan Jennings was wide receiver 27 per game with only with 7.5 targets per game, which is a lot.
Okay.
Debo Samuel.
I'm sure. I apologize. I'm sure there's been some per game guys because nobody ever plays a full season.
That's true. Debo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk in the same season were both top 15 per game. Debo, however, a lot of rushing, but Brandon Ayuk is wide receiver 16 per game in 2023, averaged 15.7 points per game. That's very good. And in that same year, Debo Samuel averaged 12.7 per game, 12.7 PPR fantasy points per game on just receiving totals alone, which is okay. I don't know where that would rank most years. Last year would have been a top 30 guy, but that was on 5.9 targets per game. I don't know. I'm really starting to feel DeJuan's dribbling, but I know all the stuff he's done out there has been without any of the main pass catchers on the field. So I'm well aware of that. If everybody stays healthy, there's going to be a crunch of targets. But the thing is with the 49ers, you only need like 105 targets to be pretty good.
We drafted him in the 14 team podcast league last night as our third receiver, starting three running backs in a row.
Okay. What do you remember where that was? Well, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to pull up the draft. I actually have to deal round eight. Okay, in a 14 team league. I have to deal with a developing situation in one of the FFT open leagues real quick. So if you wouldn't mind, give me your thoughts on Cam Ward, who went 8 of 12 for 69 yards against Seattle backups. And in two preseason games, he's probably gotten more action than any other starting quarterback that I can think of here. And he's really looked bad, inaccurate downfield. And what does this mean? Mainly for Carnell Tate. And if you want to talk about Pollard and Spears, Pollard, I think he played the entire first possession and then didn't play anymore. Spears played the next two. But Titans offense from a fantasy standpoint, guys.
I guess just starting with the passing game or the Carnell Tate part of this, but I think you should factor in Wandale Robinson too. Like, you have to downgrade them. They just have not looked good. So Tate, for me, was in a range of Marvin Harrison, Brian Thomas Jr., Chris Godwin, don't think anybody else of significance like that group, you know, so like ahead of Michael Wilson, those type of guys, Jordan Addison. I've dropped him behind all those guys, the first group that I mentioned. So I would still start to look for him late round six, early round seven, depending on how receivers come off the board, but not with as much enthusiasm. Again, he's still a rookie receiver. He's going to get better. This offense is going to get better. I said this after the first preseason game. This is Brian Daboll trying to implement his offense, and Cam Ward's probably going to struggle. You don't like to see the offensive line like that, but, you know, again, I think they'll just start to gel a little bit more. And for a team like this, it could be a lot of garbage time, depending on how they're chasing points when it comes to Tate. And the same thing for Robinson. You just have to drop him down a couple spots.
Yeah, I haven't moved him too much just because Carnell Tate wasn't ever really ranked based on what my projection was. It was kind of based on the hope of the upside. I think I still have him. I've got him at the end of round seven, so I may be just a little behind Jamie on him still, but there's still a lot of upside there. There's obviously a lot of risk, and we've seen more of the risk, but I think the second-year quarterback with a new offensive coordinator trying to do new things probably explains more of it than we're giving credit for.
And then when it comes to the running backs, you know, Pollard for me was always in that. He was ahead of this group, but, you know, the Patriots guys, the Steelers guys, Brooks. I don't know. I don't feel very confident in it right now. You know, so he's – I'd rather have Ramondre. I'd rather have Jonathan Brooks. I'd love to see one of the Steelers guys sort of emerge, but he's right in that mix with them. So still could be drafted if you go hero RB or zero RB as a number two running back. But, I mean, initially when – before training camp started, like, I was looking at him like round six. Like, that's not the case anymore.
All right. Ready to talk about a 14 team league. For those of you drafting in deeper formats, I will put the draft results up on YouTube right now, youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. If you want to observe while I do that, I'm sorry. As commissioner of 36 FFT open leagues, sometimes these issues come up. Everybody do your best to, if you're drafting, if you're one of the 400, what did we say, Heath?
432
people drafting. Just do your best to not. But anyway, Jamie, what were some of your major takeaways from the deeper format, the 14 team league?
Huge run on running backs in round one. So no surprise there, just given the Genty injury and some of the panic and knowing, I think, what's going to happen in round two. So It was Ken Walker went in round one. We took Derrick Henry in round one. I think Devon Achane went at 14th
overall. There you go. You don't have to guess anymore. I've got the draft board for you. There you go. Yeah.
So no surprise, the big run on running backs there.
It didn't stop. I kept thinking at some point these guys are going to start drafting other positions. And no, it just it kept going. I thought it was a little bit over the top in terms of the even like drafting third and fourth running backs, but it's something you have to be prepared for and pivot if you need to.
These drafts lately have been so helpful for me because they've helped me come up with my own personal tiers. And I had been talking about an ADP tier of the older wide receivers, some of not everyone old in this range, but it's Devontae Adams, Terry McLaurin, Mike Evans at the back of it. And then mixed in there, you've got, just looking at this draft, Jameson Williams, Romo Odunze, maybe Christian Watson. Parker Washington has certainly moved into that range now. And I, from the last two drafts I've done, have noticed that I personally like Devontae Adams better than everyone else in that group. Jameson Williams, Terry McLaurin, Parker Washington, Romo Odunze, Mike Evans. Mike Evans was off the board before all of those guys in this draft, if you're looking at the results. So when Adams went in round four, what was that, like 51st overall? Let me see. Adams, 51st overall. I was up and I took Scattaboo and I really hated that pick. But I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to have, I want my three running backs. You've heard me say that 14 team league. I want three running backs. I feel like I can start every week. So I got those with three of my first four picks and I didn't have any wide receivers, McCaffrey, Bowers, Travis Achane, Cam Scattaboo. But I guess my point is, you know, doing all these drafts, doing mock drafts, for me, it changes when it's a real draft. It makes me really, gives me a lot more clarity on how I feel about players. And I really like Devontae Adams, I guess. So anyway, that's, yeah, you said it was very heavy on running back. I didn't want to be that running back heavy, but I just kind of panicked and took Scattaboo there. And then you took Tootin with your fourth pick, 54th overall, after taking Chase, Rice, and Flowers from the three spot. So let's talk about how your team turned out, Heath, with a three receiver build and a 14 team league.
Yeah, I don't really like that Tootin pick. And I think it's probably worth reminding people when you see Tootin in round four, it's round five in a 12-team league and in the middle of round five. But even so, it's earlier than I wanted to take him, but I wasn't sure there would be another running back in the NFL left when I picked again. So I took him. I both love getting Lamar Jackson in round five of a 14-team league. And hated it because Jaden Daniels went two full rounds later, which is like 30 picks later. I don't think most people can count on that happening, but I probably would have waited and not taken Lamar Jackson and taken a running back or something. I had made the intentional choice not to take Sam Laporta in this draft because I had four managed drafts that I'd already done, and he was on all four of those teams. So Jamie got a great value on Laporta later, and I took Isaiah Likely at like pick 120 or something. It was I thought that was a pretty good value. And then I just tried to draft as many running backs as I could. I've got Tootin and Chris Rodriguez. I've got RJ Harvey, Bill, Tank Bigsby, and a couple other backup running backs. I think that the key for me is Lamar stays healthy, and I'm right about having three of my top 12 wide receivers in a 14-team league. Then the running backs don't matter that much.
Yeah, for me, my philosophy is kind of influenced by just being in a league like this and knowing if there's anything available on waiver wire, on the waiver wire that I feel like pretty comfortable with on a weekly basis, it's wide receivers that, you know, I can throw in and get like a decent week out of.
You could probably find a Quentin Johnston, Jordan Addison type wide receiver on occasion on the waiver wire, yeah.
But you can't really find a running back unless there's an injury. It's hard to find a running back.
It's easier when you have a smaller bench.
It is. It is. And that's why I did it, because to make it easier, but it's still hard. I mean, unless there was an injury at running back, it's really difficult to find any running back on the waiver wire that's giving you anything worth starting.
I was just going to look. I mean, yeah, it's going to have to be an injury. I was just going to look at the guys that didn't get drafted. So the probable RB2 in Dallas, Malik Davis didn't get drafted. The probable RB2 in Cincinnati, Samaje P. Ryan. I was surprised Najee Harris didn't get drafted. I don't know. Seth McGowan didn't get drafted. I'm not sure. Was Emmett Johnson drafted?
Yes.
He was? Yep. So there's probably six or seven. Nick Singleton didn't get drafted.
Yeah, Jalen Wright, probably, I think, got drafted.
Nope. Justice Hill didn't get drafted. He's probably the guy that's going to be able to score you 8 to 10 points that's available on the waiver wire most of the year.
So Heath went three wide receivers to start. Jamie went three running backs from the 13th spot. And pick 14 also went three running backs. But Jamie, Derrick Henry, Omarion Hampton, Breece Hall, DJ Moore. Did you think you were going to go two running backs to start with each of your first two picks when you had the 13th pick and the 16th pick?
Yeah, our initial discussion was running back, receiver, receiver, just knowing who was going to most likely be on the board in rounds 3 and 4. You know, I think we kind of committed to, similar to your thoughts, like getting running backs in this league is somewhat of a priority. It's what helped us win the league last year. I forget who the third one was, but we took Breece Hall last year in round 5 because everybody was kind of running away from him. And it just ended up being good value. So we had Devon Achane and Breece Hall. I don't remember who the other one was, but somebody we took early. And this was just taking a few different players that neither myself or Todd have drafted much of yet. So Henry and Hampton, I would have probably, as much as I don't love Achane, but that's in the 12-team league, I would have taken Achane most likely ahead of Henry. And then I probably would have gone Barkley. I was fine with Hampton in round 2. But in any event, when Hall was still sitting there, we said, let's take the running back value here, just knowing, again, what this league was like. I don't love Marvin Harrison as our second receiver, but I think, you know, the combination of Harrison, Stribling, Coker will make that work if DJ Moore does what he's capable of doing, or what I think he's going to do. So I was perfectly fine with it. You mentioned, you know, the quarterback value. Like, we were thrilled to get Dak Prescott where we got him, and then just taking some, you know, late round flyers on guys that you see me probably draft a lot. Jalen Coker, Marshawn Lloyd. You know, we talked about this on the sleepers show that we did for FFT Express. So I'm very happy with how this roster turned out. It's just a matter of, will, you know, like Keith's point, you know, will three of, you know, my top 15 running backs, essentially, when Breece Hall's healthy, will they be good?
As the guy who took the first tight end, Brock Bowers, 24th overall, I think, there's no way I would have taken him if it had been a three receiver league. I don't think so anyway. It would have been perfectly fine value, but a 14 team three receiver league, I couldn't have justified waiting until the fifth round to take my first wide receiver. So two receivers, two running backs, one flex. Yeah, it is 14 teams. That makes it deeper, but it's not that different from like a 12 team three receiver league, I guess. But yeah, I don't think I would have taken Bowers there. I probably would have taken Rashee Rice instead, or Neighbors or Smith, but probably Rashee Rice. I don't know if you guys had any thoughts on, I asked you, Heath, earlier about, you know, shallower format like FFT Open. Should you try to get at least an elite tight end or quarterback? And you said, yeah, I mean, not necessarily for sure, but shallower format. Yeah. But what about this deeper format with tight end and quarterback?
Generally speaking, I think you probably don't want to spend a lot on both your quarterback and your tight end in a 14 team league. I didn't plan on drafting an elite quarterback, but I think it was pick 59 when I took Lamar Jackson, and it's a 6 point per pass touchdown league. I just couldn't not do it. And I was trying to, I figured the way I look at it, I've got elite wide receivers. I've got an elite flex. If I have an elite quarterback, that gives me 5 spots where I should be as good or better than most of the league. And so that's why I took Lamar there, and then I just waited at tight end. I think Dave might be the only one, or Dave's team might be the only one, that took kind of a high-end quarterback and tight end. He took Kraft and Drake May in rounds 5 and 6, and only had one running back through 6 rounds. It was Quinshon Judkins.
Oh, boy. His running backs, I mean, this is too risky for me, but he went Lamb, A.J. Brown, Garrett Wilson, Dave Richard here. Lamb, A.J. Brown, Garrett Wilson, Quinshon Judkins, Tucker Kraft. He must have felt like he just missed out. Look at the 4 picks before him are Jaylen Warren, Ramondre Stevenson, Jonathan Brooks, and Rico Dowdle. So he probably just missed out on a tier. I think he could have taken Pollard there, though. He didn't. He went Tucker Kraft, and then Pollard went one pick before he took Drake May in round 6. So his running backs are Quinshon Judkins, Mike Washington, Jonah Coleman, Ray Davis, and James Conner. Hopefully for him, he's hoping Ashton Jeanthe doesn't play week one or two, and then he has Judkins and Mike Washington to start. But if Jeanthe, right. if Jeanthe's healthy early, Dave's going to have a lot of trouble.
And I like
at RB2.
I think I like the upside of some of Dave's non-Judkins running backs more than I do my own. I tried to kind of do a blend of guys that I think could have big upside if the guy got hurt, and guys like RJ Harvey, who I feel like in full PPR, I'm probably going to be able to start in a full PPR league. Mm. So that's one thing to consider when you're weak at running back is, are you all the way in on give me the biggest upside if they get the opportunity, or do you want a couple of guys that you can start?
Okay. So I just want to point out one thing. If you look here at Eric Ryson, team 14, and if he had taken, instead of Mike Evans, if he had taken a running back there and this square would have been green, we would have had two connect fours. Okay. We've had a vertical and a diagonal, which is really, you don't see a lot of that. You don't see a lot of connect fours. You see, here's one. Lamb, Jefferson, McConkey, DJ Moore. Here's a connect four. I love it. I guess you do see a lot of them. I'm not familiar with how many connect fours that we usually see. Here's one. Here's a connect five. Wow. Okay, fun with draft.
What are you doing right now?
Ending the show.
That Josh Jacobs pick is going to be interesting.
I need to go up at the top here. I've earned it. All right, we'll talk to you. Jamie and I are going to record breakouts, his all breakout team, and then we'll talk to you tomorrow with the draft-a-thon and more. Talk to you tomorrow on Fantasy Football Today.
Paramount Podcasts.
This Saturday, UFC meets Hollywood. On Paramount Plus.
From the West Coast, this is where stars are made.
Joshua Van versus Alexandre Pantoja for the World Flyweight Championship.
The rematch that had to happen.
Plus Armin Sarukian versus Mauricio Hoopy.
This is guaranteed fireworks.
UFC takes over Los Angeles. Saturday at 9 Eastern. Free with your Paramount Plus subscription.